I will be using the text that Suzanne read. If you have your Bibles and want to follow, I'd like to read it again, please. This is Psalm chapter 108, verses 3 through 5. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. The theme here seems to be the worldwide praise of God from his people, to show forth the worldwide glory of God. The Hebrew text here in verse 3 has some kind of a parallelism in it. Actually, the word people is repeated twice. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. And the second phrase has kind of the sense, I will sing praises unto thee among all the people. So it seems here that David is looking at this matter of giving glory to God in two ways. He wants to show forth the praise of God to the people, which I'm thinking is kind of an internal look, kind of a look at people we know, a look at the church maybe we attend. And then David wants to show forth the praise of God to all the people, as some versions translate it, to all the nations, or kind of an external look to all the people, people we don't know, strangers, people who live in other countries. So we have an internal look and an external look to show forth the glory of God internally in the church, in our community, externally to people we don't know, maybe in other countries. God now has established a particular way to show forth his glory among the people. I'm going to read one other scripture passage if you want to look at that, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10 and then skip to 20 and 21. God has established a particular way to show forth his glory among the people. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. There's a special place for the church now to show forth the glory of God. When I was your age, and maybe a little older, I probably started out as kind of a lone ranger type Christian, doing various things and various ministries maybe and so on. But I've come to see as I am getting older that really we need to love the church. And the church is really God's vehicle that preserves the truth and also spreads the glory of Christ throughout the world. So the church is called upon to live and demonstrate and proclaim, Paul says, the fellowship of the mystery. And which mystery would that be? Well, probably the mystery of Christ, and also the mystery that people, nations, all over the world, people within those nations are part of the body of Christ and partakers of the promises in Christ through the gospel. So now, before creation, God determined that the church belongs to Christ, that Christ has a bride. And now God has called upon the church itself to proclaim this truth to those who are not yet part of the church. So the church shows forth the glory of God by proclaiming the truth of the gospel to those yet not part of the church, but, Lord willing, soon will be. In verse 10 in Ephesians, Paul says that the church is showing this wisdom to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So as we show forth the glory of God here and in other countries, there's kind of a sense of spiritual warfare that is going on here. The principalities and powers in the heavenlies. So I'm thinking here that we're talking about the angelic realm and the demonic realm that exists in the heavenly places. The church through its life and witness, also has an effect on this middle area, and this middle area has an effect on us. Dr. Peter Wagner, formerly of South America Mission and formerly of Fuller Seminary and now at a church, I don't remember where, but has come up with something that he calls the doctrine of the excluded middle, and I think it's maybe talked about here in Ephesians. It's kind of the difference between how we as Western Christians view our life and how, let's say, third world Christians view their life. As Western Christians, it seems that we view that God is in heaven and we're on the earth. Christ has given us access to God, and there's a relationship between God and us through Christ. And that's true. And to that I say, amen. But it seems now that the third world Christians have a slightly different view, that God is in heaven and we're on the earth and we have access to God through Christ. But in that middle area between God and us, there's a whole universe of angels and demons. This is what Peter Wagner calls the excluded middle. So that in doing spiritual warfare, the church then may need to take war into this excluded middle, basically through prayer and other things. So the church engages in this spiritual war to demonstrate the wisdom of God in spreading the gospel through the church. The wisdom of God in spreading the gospel. God is pleased to spread the gospel throughout the world through us. He doesn't really do it through angels. But in some way, that warfare that's going on in that middle area affects what we do. And we, in our ministry, affect what's going on in the middle area. There's kind of a relationship there. The doctrine of the excluded middle. Well, you may learn more about that depending on what country you end up in. All right. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. God now desires to get glory for himself by means of the church and in the church and through the church. So how does God get glory in the church? As we meet on Sunday every week and recount the wonders of Christ, God gets glory. As we see more clearly the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, God gets glory. As we learn more fully the doctrine of Christ, God gets glory. As we rehearse the doctrine of Christ, his eternal existence, his incarnation, his life among us, his substitutionary death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into glory in a real body, and all these things, God gets glory. What is the glory of God? Why, it's his darling Son, of course. And so God is calling upon us then as the church to rehearse the glory of his darling Son on Sundays, and then as we go throughout the world, as more people are brought into the church, the glory of God spreads throughout the world. God also gets glory as the church goes on mission to proclaim the wonders of Christ among the people. The church is expanded, and we also are changed as we go on mission. We grow in faith. I think that going on mission is also a great opportunity to discover spiritual gifts. It seems that as we are involved in mission or involved in ministry, God begins to show us what we're really gifted at. And maybe you don't really know now, and I would really be surprised if everybody did, but it seems to me the best way to learn where we fit in the body of Christ, what God has gifted us to do, is to be involved in mission. You may not know what you're really gifted to do, but as you're involved in mission, you may find that your gift is really service, doing things that make the mission run better. You may have a gift of administration. You may be a gifted preacher, teacher, you may have other spiritual gifts or talents that you see that God is blessing. I think this is a great way to learn where we fit in the body of Christ, as you'll see what God is really blessing in your life. He may bless one area and not another. And you see then how that maybe you need to go and emphasize your gifts for the glory of God. May God bless you then as you consider mission opportunities that are available to you and as you consider and visit people during this Go Week. Let's conclude with our reading for the day. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. Thank you.